This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, as you heard a moment ago. You're listening to WGN, and we regularly visit with Craig Bolanos, the co-founder and CEO of Wealth Management Group. Craig, catch us up on what's going on this week right now.
Well, it's a busy week of economic data. You've even got Jerome Powell. He's going to be testifying in front of Congress on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Everyone's going to buckle their seatbelt and get ready for the big jobs data after a blowout jobs data in January. What are the results of February going to be? But today, we're learning that when Microsoft and Apple in particular control and influence so much of the market, if Apple has a bad day, the rest of the market has a bad day, and we're seeing some people take the chips off the table.
I thought you were going to say that about NVIDIA. It's Apple, not NVIDIA?
Well, you know what? Everything in, we call it the Magnificent Seven, whether it's Apple Computer, whether it's NVIDIA, you name the stock. I mean, they're all having a rough day. NVIDIA's down $2. That's about a quarter of 1%. But Apple is showing a little bit worse today. Apple's down $4 or 2.5%. And with Apple being the largest holding in the S&P 500, that's what's bringing the general numbers to the downside.
As one might expect, that is, if any of those or all of those are suffering, then so too will the index. But we have been talking with you and other guests on the Wintrust Business Lunch about how the indices are a little more broad-based right now. Do I recall that correctly? Are we seeing more companies participate on the upside?
Well, you know, if we think about that rally that started in October, continued into November and December, it was very narrow. But, John, you hit that nail on the head, as you always do on this show. In January and into February, we began to see this rally broaden out where it wasn't just the Magnificent Seven. We had more of those 493 lesser-known companies begin to participate, but still, it's going to be a real focus just on the technology darlings because the AI, the artificial intelligence revolution, it's kind of like the gold rush in San Francisco back in the 1800s.
Well, at least it's not Bitcoin or pets.com. I mean, the point is AI is real. It's here to stay. And if you did want to hitch your wagon to somebody, that would be a good driver of the market, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I think AI has been the driver of the market. There is no doubt about it. And what everyone's trying to wonder now is AI going to be proven? It is real. When ChatGPT first came out, I mean, think about how incredibly transformative it was. And now the question becomes, will the other companies be able to adopt artificial intelligence to boost productivity and boost profits? Time is going to tell, but all indications based on how much companies are spending to buy these NVIDIA microprocessors, the semiconductors, everybody must believe it's a seminal change, at least until proven otherwise.
So when you say those other companies need to prove that it's profitable, you're not talking about other chip makers. You're talking about companies that use AI, right?
I am talking about, that's exactly right. I'm talking about all of the companies that use AI, all of the companies that are going to start adopting AI. That's the bottom line of this entire market. Is it really a seminal change? Because in the end, we have to see artificial intelligence make all of these non-technology companies a whole lot of money. Again, increasing revenue, sustainable cost savings. And I think the analogy I use to that gold rush, John, if the Magnificent Seven are the picks and shovels of the AI gold rush, then the remaining companies in the S&P 500, they're the prospectors that are mining the gold. And if we find that the prospectors find enough gold, have widespread AI adoption, then this boom continues. It is a seminal event. But if there's not as much gold as everybody hopes in AI, we all know how the party's going to end because we've lived through it before.
Yeah, suddenly I'm not so optimistic. That is, I think that's an interesting point. So I wonder if 10 years from now we're going to look back at AI and this moment in time as a moment of great hope, but it wasn't realized to the extent that we thought it might be. That's That's worth noting. It's also worth pausing. It's 1216 on WGN. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, and we're talking to Craig Bolanos, co-founder and CEO of Wealth Management. I mentioned Bitcoin a moment ago. I do want to talk to you, Craig, a little bit about that. But first, I want to update our listeners on the markets. Bob Kessler. We're talking to Craig Bolanos, the co-founder and CEO of Wealth Management Group. We mentioned Bitcoin a little bit ago, Craig. What's the latest on the currencies there?
Well, the world of cryptocurrency is afire now that more people are involved and people have easier access, because there is not one, not two, but 11 ETFs that allow people to participate in Bitcoin. And you finally saw this past week Bitcoin go back to all-time highs. It wasn't that long ago that Bitcoin was trading at $64,000 in 2021. As you and I sit here today, we're at $65,000, and cryptocurrency investors are taking notice and smiling all the way to their digital online wallets and piggy banks.
I still don't know what cryptocurrency is supposed to be, because you just described it as an investment and we chart the value of it. But I thought it was invented as a currency, as a means of exchange, right?
Yeah, I mean, the whole concept behind cryptocurrency was to be able to have, without complicating it, this open peer-to-peer network where people could transfer funds without a central depository. Right. And you're right. I mean, originally it was used for nefarious reasons. There's no doubt about that. But due to all the issues on the planet, you know, you've seen them in Venezuela, you saw them in the island of Cyprus, you've seen them in different places. Some people view cryptocurrency not just as an investment, some people view it as a storage of value. I'm not trying to make the comparison to gold, but that's the lens through which some people see this. As far as its sustainable and stable power, John, your guess is as good as mine. Only time is going to tell.
Right, but people aren't buying and selling goods with gold being the currency of exchange. They're doing it with, you know, either electronic transfers or dollars, essentially. And while you can trade in currencies, we don't generally talk about the value of the dollar and am I going to buy or sell dollars. And I'm not sure which of those two camps, Bitcoin or these cryptocurrencies, have their feet in. Is it going to be essentially, ultimately, a means of exchange, goods for services, or is it going to be like gold and we're going to chart its value and invest in it that way?
I think the answer is both. John, I think the answer is both. I think the world continues to move towards a world of digital payments, good, bad, or indifferent. That's an entire other show. And I do think that we're going to look at Bitcoin and Ethereum, because that's what's next, not unlike when we had the gold ETF followed by the silver ETF 3 years later. I think we're going to look at it through a lens of an investment opportunity, and I think people are going to use it as a currency for the transfer and facilitation of goods and services. Yeah. How real is it? You know as well as I do, it's an entirely synthetic thing. But so are, you know, fiat currencies that aren't backed by gold standards across the world anyway.
Well, but it's just weird to me then that if it's that volatile, you know, if I owe you a Bitcoin today, tomorrow I might owe you six Bitcoin, or maybe I'll owe you a sixth of a Bitcoin, depending on the value of the thing. And that's just a calculation I'm not used to.
You're right, John. I would hate to overpay for my pizza, right? Given how volatile it is.
That's exactly. Talk to me about some of the movers and shakers on the market. Start with Super Microcomputers. I don't even know what that is.
Well, you just said the word, so of course you know what it is.
Super microcomputer.
Yes. Think semiconductor, think demand. It goes back to everything that we talked about earlier today in that entire chip space. How much demand is there going to be? And a lot of this does have to do with another side of the pond, John. A lot of this has to do with China, because it appears that their economy is slowing, consumer is slowing. That slows down demand and consumption for everything that is technology across the globe, and that's just one more example.
But Super Microcomputers, that company, is up 25%, at least as of Monday. I'm not sure where they are today, but they seem to be doing pretty well.
Well, I mean, they had a fantastic pop in the same way you've had some retailers have a pop lately, right? Macy's had a good day. Target's having a fantastic day. It just shows the bifurcation in the market. You know, if you were to ask me specifically about Supermicrocomputer and that big pop on Monday, well, hey, I mean, they got moved into the S&P 500. That forced every single index fund to buy the stock, hence the big rally. Remember, gaining entrance to the Dow Jones, gaining entrance to the S&P 500 is a very important goal for any publicly traded company because it creates a guaranteed outcome of buyers. That's a very big deal. I was referencing the fact that it was down in price today with the rest of the semiconductors, but you're right. Monday was newsworthy.
Just a few seconds here, but what's your thought about the Fed and interest rates this year?
Again, my comment is the market is readjusting for lower expectations of rate cuts. 7 cuts, no way. 6 cuts, 5 cuts, 4, probably not. I'm hoping we get 2 to 3 because I need 2 to 3 to defend the valuations. But again, no rate cuts until at least June. It'll be celebrated by everybody, but savers with their high-yield money markets will instantly be disappointed.
I set the line at 3.5. You would have taken the under. Maybe I need to adjust the line to 2.5. If I said 2.5, would you take the under or the over?
At 2.5, I'm going to go with the over.
I like the way you said that. All right. That's Craig Bolanos, the co-founder and CEO of Wealth Management Group. Invest with WMG.com. Thank you, Craig.
Good to be with you, John.